to my face. It's your fault I'm a monster. It's your fault I'll never be on the cover of TV Guide. It's your fault my future is in radio.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
I'm already feeling bad enough. I don't need that nonsense. Coming to you from Cart Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to our top stories this hour. Got more pressure coming down on the vice president. I mean, she's taking a lot of heat. People are starting to see that she is not equipped to be the vice president of the United States. I'll get to that coming up in just a few minutes, but let's begin with our top story.
The Big Lead, top story.
Last year, a lot of businesses went under. A lot of restaurant businesses went under in particular. You see, they didn't have the option of saying, you know what, I know we're losing a lot of money this year in 2020, but in 2021, when we reopen our doors, we'll just double every menu price. And then our customers will have to pay us back for all the money that we didn't collect last year. Now, that would be a pretty stupid business plan, wouldn't it? But that's what your government chooses to do. So our transportation specialist, Chris Sullivan, he has another choke point story up at MyNorthwest.com about how little driving there was on toll roads last year and the solution for the state. Oh, we'll just increase the tolls this year. Completely the opposite of what the private sector could or would do. Chris Sullivan joins us live here on the Dory Monson Show. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Dory.
Okay, now, like the private sector, they also are going to have to cut back on some projects that were promised to people. Is that right?
That is correct. There's a couple of different components of this. Which one do you want to hit first?
Well, whichever one you think is more important. You're the specialist.
Well, the first one, the second one is projects that have yet to begin. The next one is what's going to hit you come July 1st if you ride a toll road. There are five toll facilities in the state, and the Washington State Transportation Commission is expected next week to raise the toll rates on the 520 Floating Bridge, the 99 Tunnel in Seattle, and the Tacoma Narrows Bridge. And the reason, as you stated, is the revenue that they were expected to generate on those toll roads is not enough right now to cover their financial obligations. So we don't know exactly what the rates are going to increase. But, I mean, at least on 520, we were supposed to be done. After 5 years, they were supposed to be done with the rates because they thought they were going to be fine to pay back the bonding that was part of the contract. But it turns out, no, because so few people rode. I mean, we're down, what, I guess, ballpark about 55% fewer. Okay. Trips across, that's just 520. Statewide, it was about 44%. The Narrows Bridge saw significant traffic throughout the pandemic, whereas 167 didn't. The 405 corridor was down close to 81% for the year. So that tells you just what kind of money they didn't get over what they were expecting.
Sure.
And so now to meet their bonds and to not get our bond rating or to, you know, run afoul of paying back the state's creditors, they say they have to raise the toll prices on those three facilities to handle the debt responsibility on those three facilities alone.
Well, let me go back to my restaurant analogy, because there are a lot of restaurant and bar owners who couldn't meet their obligations. They couldn't make their mortgage payments. They couldn't pay their property taxes. They had to, as a result, lay off staff. And instead of saying, well, we'll just double menu prices, which you can't do in the private sector, they instead had to make really tough decisions about laying off workers, cutting back on spending. Why doesn't our government ever do that? Why do we let them get away with, well, we have to meet our obligations, so we'll just raise the tolls? That's just not how the rest of the world works.
No, it isn't, but it's the way the state of Washington works. That's the way and I don't know why that's become the modus operandi over the years, but that's become standard practice. If we don't have the money, we'll just tax the people more. And that's become kind of, you know, that's the mantra. You know that better than anybody. Yeah. And that's just the way it is, because they say it's a user fee. It's a public good that we need these. Maybe that restaurant isn't a public good. That's me, you know, facetiously speaking for them. I don't want you to attribute that to anybody, certainly from the state. Yeah. But I mean, that's kind of the feeling you get is like, listen, we can do this. So therefore we're going to, because we think we need to. And that's really the way the things run in this state when they, I mean, it happened in 2008 coming out of the recession then, and it's happening now.
Yeah, well, it's so flat out wrong that we never see reductions in state spending. You know, Jay Inslee, and there are some in the media, not you, Chris, but there are some in the media who carry his water for him when he said that he was going to have to make draconian budget cuts. And all that meant was, instead of increasing spending by 30%, he was going to increase it by 20%. And in the bizarre, you know, speak of Olympia, that is considered a budget cut when they slow the growth of spending. And that's where I would just one time, I would love to see some department head say, yeah, we don't have nearly as much money as we did in the past. We're going to have to make some massive cuts to what we spend. I just don't ever see that. Now, you said they're going to suspend some existing projects, though?
Potentially. There are five different projects along the 167-405 corridor that in 2019 they decided that they were going to do to try to help with congestion. One of them would be, I know you're a big proponent of expanding bus service. Bus rapid transit, something that they're doing in concert with the Sound Transit to provide bus rapid transit up and down the 405 corridor. Well, that can't really happen until they expand 405 between Linwood and Bothell, which is a daily problem every day. They were in the plan, there was to add another express toll lane through the area all the way up to Linwood, so you'd have a double lane all the way down to Bellevue. Well, projects like that, or extending the hot lane from Auburn down to Sumner on 167, those were projects that were identified. But what the legislature did in 2019 is they decided to bond against future tolling revenue to pay for these. So they authorized up to $1.5 billion in bonds that the state would be able to use, they thought, the anticipated revenue from tolling to pay for them. Well, now after the pandemic and the lack of people riding in those toll lanes, they can only get up to 65% of paying that money back. Wow. Now, those bonds haven't been issued, right? They obviously weren't going to issue them until they had the money. But right now they're $360 million short, which means they may have to delay bus rapid transit. They may have to delay adding those extra lanes or those other projects or those direct access ramps along the corridor, which really help with congestion and eliminate weaving and merging. And the people up here in Bothell, in the Snohomish County area, are livid, because they're like, even state reps are like, we've put this plan in place. Right, made all these land use decisions. We gave you route 12 acres for a bus barn. We did all this anticipating you could have bus rapid transit by 2025, and maybe it's going to be 27, maybe it's going to be 29. We don't. And they're like, are you kidding me? So, yeah, those are projects along this corridor that are needed, and they may get pushed back. They're trying to figure that out, just like Sound Transit's trying to figure out what to do with the ST3 projects they promised, and they're facing an $8 billion hole based on the tax revenue that they didn't get last year.
Why don't they just hire some Nigerian scammers, and they could just steal the money from other state agencies, and nobody will blink an eye at that? And that way they can get all the money they want.
Well, I'm not sure if that's a hire they're going to make. But you know, at this point, everything's on the table. I don't know why not. I mean, come on, Dory. It's a great idea, but come on.
It's fantastic. They made that hire last year, so I don't know why they wouldn't again.
And
this
that
year.
Hire is now in D.C. Well, great job.
That's exactly right. Before I let you go, I know that you were very public and open about this. How are you feeling now? A few weeks out from the Rona.
A little better. My heart rate is a little higher than normal. I still get winded a little bit, but most everything is kind of coming back. I'm slowly but surely, I mean, for having done nothing for a month, to get back into exercising and get back into doing things, I'm feeling better. In fact, I'm going to get my first COVID shot vaccine this afternoon. The doctor cleared me to go ahead and get that. He said it, and even he said for some people who have lingering issues, not that I'm a long hauler by any means yet. I've only been at this 6 weeks, but he said sometimes the vaccine can help people who have with those symptoms that they've had. So we'll see how it goes. We'll see how I am during tomorrow morning Seattle's Morning News if I'm feeling like garbage after getting a shot. But
which
all
vaccine
in all,
are you getting?
I believe we're getting the Moderna.
Oh
no! Did you get the Moderna?
I'm not a fan of the Moderna. Yeah, that's
oh great. Well, our son Tommy got the Pfizer in Montana, and he was down for 3 days. I know some friends who have got the J&J, and Holly's like, "Okay, we're going for Moderna." So great, thanks a lot. So I'm looking forward to that. Perfect.
Okay. Well, I'm rooting for you.
But all in all, I'm doing much better. I really appreciate it, and I appreciate all the listeners who've been reaching out to me.
They care about you.
Really doing well. I'm blessed.
So you still need to get the vaccine, though? Do you have the antibodies?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, certainly those are in me. Nobody knows how long they stay in each individual person and what the immunity is. But they say, if you can, do, is what the doctor told me in terms of getting the shot to see how we do. But, yeah, I mean, I've got the natural antibodies. Now I'm going to add these. And so hopefully my body won't be like, are you kidding me? We just had this 6 weeks ago. Now you're going to give me the fake one? But we'll see.
I don't want to contradict your doctor, but if you have the antibodies, I don't know why you need the vaccine.
That's a very good question that I have been asking a lot of people about, because I have questions about that too. It seems somewhat counterintuitive that, I mean, I have the natural antibodies. Why do I need to make my body struggle again? But the research that the people have been telling me and I've been looking up, and my doctor said, go for it. And I'm like, all right. So we'll see. Yeah, it does kind of seem like doubling up, but maybe I'll have super immunity. I doubt it, though.
Okay.
That's an overweight 51-year-old man. Yeah, I think I have super immunity.
I'm off the air in 43 minutes. Call Dr. Dory, and let's continue this conversation off the air.
No,
I don't want to say anything
to
get me in legal trouble here.
This would be tremendous radio if we continued this discussion.
Well, I'm just saying, I don't think you need it if you have the antibodies. I have lots and lots of friends, including, I won't name names, but a mutual friend of yours and mine, who has the antibodies. And now he thinks his employer's going to make him get the vaccine. He says, I don't want the vaccine. I have the antibodies. I'm protected.
I'm the same way, but part of me says, if I want to watch my son's football games at Montana State in the fall, I bet you someone's going to ask me for proof and make me show them my papers.
Oh, I bet you're right. And that's what bothers
me. And so that's kind of what I'm guarding against, is I have to do this in order to get into a stadium or go to an event that I'd like to do, because eventually there probably will be some papers required, and I don't want to show up in September and be like,
And that's so, what bothers me about this, though, is, and I know you were not planning on talking about this with me, but I love going down these rabbit holes. I feel like they're coercing people who don't need to get it into getting it for that very reason. You know, if you want to get on a plane, we're going to mandate it. If you want to go see the Foo Fighters at the Garden, you're going to have to show vaccination. And I don't know why having the natural antibodies isn't seen as equal footing with the vaccine.
I don't mind going down the rabbit hole. I've been as open and honest as I can. I'm struggling with this decision, too. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I've been struggling with this decision, too, because it doesn't seem to make sense to me. But if I need to get to those games for my son, I have to get the papers, most likely. I mean, I'm hoping that doesn't work out that way. But just in case, I have to do this. And so, it does kind of feel like I need to get it, even though maybe my body doesn't. But I got to trust my doctor. I mean, he got me through COVID along with Holly, and he says it's the right. So I'm gonna listen to him. He went to school for 8 years more than I did, and he's not going to steer me wrong. But, it does kind of feel like that. I mean, honestly, I'm conflicted by it, and I think a lot of people might be. And, it is what it is, but that's what we're going to do. We've made the decision, and, it may not be right for everybody, but I'm doing what I think my doctor thinks is the best for me.
Okay. I went to school. It's called the School of Hard Knocks, pal.
Yeah, I know.
I'll put that up against Eddie Magic.
Yeah, you know, the bad streets of Ballard. I mean, come on
mean
now.
Streets. Get it right.
Well, they were
bad
streets
of Ballard, for crying out loud. All right. It's good time with you, Chris. Thank you.
Yeah, it's great to talk to you, too, Dory. Appreciate
it. Take care. All right. Our transportation specialist, Chris Sullivan. So I learned a lot there. They're going to jack up the tolls because you weren't using the toll lanes enough. Again, that makes no sense. You're not using this product. We're going to raise the cost of it. Okay, that's great government there. And then they're going to stop some projects instead of cutting spending elsewhere, instead of laying off the bloated bureaucracy that makes up every layer of government, instead of getting rid of all those six-figure do-little jobs. No, we can't do that. We don't lay off each other. We've got jobs for life, and they're well-paying jobs. And we get huge pensions, and we get lots of salary. Why would we want to hop off that gravy train? So you got all that. And then, if you've fed the coronavirus, I don't think you need the vaccine. But that's what bothers me. And what Chris said is right. He may not be doing it to protect himself. He might be doing it so that he can go to see his son play football next fall. And so he can go to other events. And that's where I just so strongly rebel against government trying to mandate it. And that we're going to have these vaccine passports and all of this other stuff. I am absolutely 100% against that if you've already had the coronavirus. And that's why the 70%, yeah, I'll keep going down the rabbit hole. That's why the 70% that Jenny Durkin and Jay Inslee have been prattling on about for months now, that's why it's so bogus. We've been way above 70% when you take vaccinated people and people who have already contracted the virus. We're probably near 80% that's covered, that's immune, that's taken care of. And I just, having gotten the Moderna myself, I would never inject that into my body unless I thought I needed it to insulate me from getting the COVID. But as some kind of prophylactic, or doing it because Jay Inslee and Jenny Durkin want to go on TV and say, well, we're the first city to get to 70%. Aren't I a great mayor? Now, I don't want to be part of your statistics. I don't want to be part of your crowing how wonderfully you've handled all of this. I don't think people who've had it should get the vaccine, but that's just me. I can have a good, open, honest conversation with a coworker that I love as much as I love Chris, and that's good. That's cool. All right. And that is an unexpected turn and twist that is our big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Did I mention I'm against that? Okay, we're going to check the news for you, and then got a lot of other stuff to cover, including, finally, the left, including in the White House, turning against Kamala Harris. We're continuing to get those reports in this afternoon. I will share more next on the Dory Monson Show. Lots of text messages about our conversation they just had with Chris Sullivan. A lot of people are saying from the 360, I only got the shot for the same reason Chris is getting his. And, oh man, I got the vaccine because of my age and a couple other things. I thought, yeah, I can't risk getting this. I think I would have been at pretty tremendous risk if I'd gotten it. But, man, I'm telling you, if I was younger, there's no way. And just because government and politicians and doctors, they all want to have their vaccination rates real high. But if the vaccination doesn't do anything more than natural antibodies that you get when you get the disease, I would not want to do that. But I also understand. There are people who they're going to get fired from their jobs if they don't get the vaccine. And maybe they don't want to even tell their boss that they had the COVID. But they did, and they have the antibodies, and that's not good enough. I wonder if you could get tested for the antibodies say, hey, I never even got sick. I didn't even know I had it, but I have the antibodies now, which is true for an awful lot of people. Okay, a problem. Then a lot of people said, don't forget about, yes, Brother D, don't forget Lady Harris, Kamala Harris. Yes, I've been promising to get to this. So Kamala Harris is back in the news because this has been a really rough couple of weeks for her. Right before the Memorial Day weekend, she tweeted out kind of a glam photo of herself that said, enjoy the long weekend. Nothing in that tweet about the troops and about the ultimate price and any of that. And then earlier this week on Air Force Two, somebody gave Kamala Harris a bunch of cookies bearing the likeness of Kamala Harris. So what does she do? She walks back to where the press corps is sitting and she starts giving them Kamala Harris cookies, which is weird at the very best. I don't know what it is at the worst. And then a couple of days ago, she did an interview with Lester Holt at NBC News. And she has not been to the border in the months since Joe Biden said, yeah, Kamala Harris is in charge of the border crisis. Children are being raped. Children are being packed in cages. Children are sick as can be. And she hasn't even visited there. And so she tried to lie to Lester Holt. And, well, I was there when I was a senator. Does that count? And it doesn't count. And Lester Holt knew it, and he didn't let her get away with the lie.
Okay. Do you have any plans to visit the border?
We are going to the border. We've been to the border. So this whole thing about the border, we've been to the border. We've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
I haven't been to Europe. And I don't understand the point that you're making.
Administration officials are really worried. You know, Joe doesn't know. But CNN, after that soundbite, CNN said, if she's really next in line, if Joe Biden can't continue as president for any reason, are we really going to turn the United States of America over to Kamala Harris? And, you know, I've mentioned before that when she was running for president in just the Democratic primaries, she couldn't even get 1% of the Democratic primary voters because the more she talks, the more people can't stand her. I talked about that yesterday. Jay Inslee was at 0% for a very different reason. The more Jay Inslee talks, the more apathetic people get about Jay Inslee. With Kamala Harris, with things like that, I haven't been to Europe either. People can't stand her the more she talks. And CNN is now acknowledging, far left CNN, that there are people who are very worried about her being a heartbeat away from the presidency.
This morning, we're told that some of what she said on the trip, her answers to questions, maybe even obvious questions, those answers have White House insiders perplexed.
CNN says White House insiders are very worried. Okay, it's happened again now today. She's had a couple of days to massage this answer. Why you're in charge of the border? Why haven't you gone to the border? So she does an interview with Mika Brzezinski on MSNBC, and it's the same thing. She could not come up with a articulate answer for why she has not visited the border.
I think also part of leading is optics and showing that and showing what you care about and what your goals are, and going to the border would have made a big difference. This has been a discussion for weeks. I'm not sure why it hasn't happened. It's a lot easier said than done, but perhaps should have been a priority.
It's not easier said than done. Jenny Durkin went to the border. She cared about children when Trump was president. Pramila Jayapal went to the border. She cared about children when Trump was president. None of them care about children anymore. Things have gotten dramatically worse. And all of these posers, all of the crocodile tear people, they don't go to the border anymore because it'd be too upsetting. Because Joe's way worse than Trump is. That would give me cognitive dissonance. And I don't like cognitive dissonance, so I'm just not going to go. But when you have MSNBC and CNN criticizing the vice president. And she's only scratched the surface, Kamala Harris, because the more she talks, the more people do not like her. And that killed her in the primaries. And it's proving to be very harmful because people understand that she's probably, more than any vice president who's ever preceded her, she's probably the most likely to ascend to the presidency in the next 3.5 years. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to happen. It means that the probability is higher with Joe than any of his predecessors. And even the leftist media is noticing. Okay, quick time out. And then we will count down. We've got a good solid batch today. We'll count down our favorite sound bites of the day as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. So I'm checking the text messages after my conversation with Chris Sullivan, where, you know, he just told us he's going to get the vaccine, even though very publicly, and he was, you know, wonderful how he shared this with everybody, how he really got very, very sick from the COVID-19. And I said, if you already have had it, you don't need the vaccine. And I got a couple of these text messages from the 425. Where did Dory get his medical degree? And I will tell you, if you think doctors are infallible, if you think doctors, I mean, look, I've talked about how doctors are a critical component in the opioid crisis in this country. I've shared my wife's and my story that if we thought doctors were infallible and we just followed blindly their advice, our middle daughter wouldn't be alive today. I mean, stop with this. Doctors are infallible. I respect doctors. I love my docs. But they're not infallible. And they're not smarter than everybody else. Yeah, they went to med school. But I mean, they're probably smarter than a lot of people. But they're not smarter than me. No, you know what I'm saying. They're not infallible. And so all these people who say that any opinion of anybody who's not a doctor is invalid because they don't have a medical degree, that's just nonsense. And you look at just how people are divided on this vaccine issue. Don't tell me you need a medical degree to disagree with a doctor, because that is what that tells me is about your self-esteem. The person who writes those text messages. It tells me that you feel that you are completely incapable and unequipped to think independently of whatever your doc tells you. But blindly following doctors is not a recipe for success in life. Doctors are one of the many professionals that you should have as part of your team of consultants, experts. I like knowing good lawyers and doctors and insurance people and all of that. I love it. But nobody's infallible. And believe me, I know that. My wife and I know that as well as anybody. Because there's a doctor out there that almost turned our life upside down. So please stop with that nonsense that nobody should ever challenge what doctors say. Okay, getting lots of other comments on that as well. You can keep texting me at 989. Oh, then somebody else from 425. Dory, don't you get it? The antibodies do not last forever. They are temporary. What do you think the vaccine is? We said the head of Moderna. I played the soundbite on Tuesday when I did a deep dive for 2 hours on this subject. And the head of Moderna and Pfizer, they say that you're probably going to need 3 or 4 boosters once you get the vaccine. So you should get the vaccine because the antibodies are temporary. But the vaccine, by their own admission, is even more temporary. And you're going to need 3 or 4 boosters. Bottom line is the bottom line. Pfizer is making $1.5 billion extra dollars in the first quarter earnings call. No, that Moderna is $1.5. Pfizer's $3.7 billion. They need growth markets. The Southern Hemisphere, where there is more population density, they've identified that as a wonderful growth market for the vaccine. And then getting everybody on the vaccine means that they'll have to get everybody 3 or 4 boosters. with billions in revenues every single time they go back for a booster. So please stop the nonsense that pharmaceutical companies and doctors are morally and intellectually beyond reproach. Because I don't buy it. I will judge everybody individually. I have some docs that I have great respect for. But not every one of them. Believe me, not every one of them. All right, with that as mere prelude, let's count down our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
Oh, big debate on WGN's morning news in Chicago today. There was a fly on in the studio, and they had a big debate on air about whether they should kill the fly.
Don't hit him.
We made it this far.
Let him be. We probably didn't have more than another week left anyway.
Put up with him flying around. We have an opportunity to take him out. Let's get rid of him.
I think we should show him
away.
You
know, if we kill this fly on TV, the amount of lunatics that are going to...
Well, remember, lunatics are going to say, hey, what's the matter with you guys? You had a fly, an opportunity to kill it.
They're a lot more tolerable than the others.
Yeah. It's their fault they're not cute. If they were cute, we could embrace it.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
Yeah, now he's going to fly into Robin's hair or coffee.
Well, listen, he's got two strikes.
Spot.
He's got... Two strikes, one more, and we kill him.
Next more landing, he's gone.
What do
we do? Where'd
he
go?
All right. He left.
Here's what's going on with our weather. Are we on right now?
Yeah.
I'm bored listening to morning news anchors talk about a fly in the studio. Crying out loud. Jeffrey Toobin, he's the one who was caught pleasuring himself on a Zoom call with his New Yorker fellow workers, and New Yorker fired him. CNN has not. Allison Camerota, she grilled him about it today.
So I guess I'll recap. I'll do the honors.
Help yourself.
Okay. In October, you were on a Zoom call with your colleagues from the New Yorker magazine. Everyone took a break for several minutes, during which time you were caught masturbating on camera. You were subsequently fired from that job after 27 years of working there. And you since then have been on leave from CNN. Do I have all that right?
You got it all right, sad to say.
Okay, so let's start there.
Okay.
To quote Jay Leno, what the hell were you thinking?
Well, obviously, I wasn't thinking very well or very much. And it was something that was inexplicable to me. I think one point, I wouldn't exactly say in my defense, because nothing is really in my defense. I didn't think I was on the call. I didn't think other people could see me.
You thought that you had turned off your camera?
Correct. I thought that I had turned off the Zoom call. Now, that's not a defense. This was deeply moronic and indefensible. But, I mean, that is part of the story. And, you know, I have spent the 7 subsequent months, miserable months in my life, I can certainly confess, trying to be a better person. I mean, in therapy, trying to do some public service, working in a food bank, which I certainly am going to continue to do, working on a new book about the Oklahoma City bombing. But I am trying to become the kind of person that people can trust again.
Yeah, it's not going to work, Jeffrey. And then finally, Joe Biden saying the words that I wish I could live.
When I was 14, if you please, at ease. I keep forgetting I'm president.
Oh, if only I could forget that. Okay, that's going to do it for us. The Tom and Curly Show is coming up next. God bless you in these crazy times, and we'll see you back here tomorrow, high noon.
Get out of here, you big, successful talk show host.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.